Greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to say that I'm thankful that God in His mercy saved my soul and changed my life some 32 years ago. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach the gospel in these past 32 years, the opportunity we had in going to Mexico, spending 10 years preaching the gospel there, starting New Testament churches. And for the last 10 years that we've been in Poland, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be there and preach the gospel as well. Perhaps some other time we'll get an opportunity to talk about what God has done in those various countries and what God is doing in Poland at this time. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of John in chapter 7. I'd like to read verse 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people." Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Jesus Christ brings controversy. Jesus Christ brings the lives of people decisions. People have to decide what they're going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's various opinions. Some say that he was a good man. Others said that he was a deceiver. Some would declare that, yes, he was a good prophet, but not necessarily the Son of God. Others would say, yes, he's the Son of God, but they don't believe that he's God in the flesh. Personally, I'm convinced that Jesus is a good man, but more than that, he's a prophet. And yet more than that, he's the Son of God. And yet still further, he's the very God manifest in the flesh. I'm convinced that Jesus Christ is God of gods, Lord of lords, and King of kings. I'm convinced that there's no salvation outside of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior, the only mediator. This brings great controversy. Because in our generation, men and women would rather have it that you can do as you please. To each his own. And yet when Jesus Christ in his own time walked among men, he brought controversy and people were split in their decisions. And yet it's this very thing that we bring to people around the world, what shall you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? This is a question that Pilate presented when the Jews brought Jesus to him. And he asked them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Jesus Christ is going to bring you to a place of decision. In the Old Testament, the prophet of old said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. I'd say the same thing. Stand up for what you believe. If you really believe that Jesus was a false prophet, stand up and tell somebody about it. If you're really convinced that Jesus is not of the truth, then you'd do well to stand against him. And yet, for fear of the Jews, for fear, for anxiety, for concern, people aren't willing to stand up for what they believe. That goes for believers as well. I'm convinced that Jesus Christ is the only way, and that's why I preach Him. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I'm so thankful that a young lady by the name of Gwen Higgins, 32 years ago, overcame her fears, overcame her anxieties, overcame whatever it is that prevents you and I from witnessing, whatever it is that comes within our soul that gives us fear and trembling, she overcame those things and presented me to the gospel. I'm a debtor to her. By the grace of God, we've been preaching the gospel around the world. Tonight, I'd like to try to help you overcome your fears. If there's one thing that I've noticed in my ministry, in trying to encourage men and women to preach the gospel, one thing that comes up time and time again that prevents people from preaching the gospel, or as our text says, speaking openly of Jesus Christ, and that's fear. Whether it's fear of the Jews, whether it's fear of retaliation, whether it's fear of bodily harm, people are afraid to stand up and speak openly for Jesus Christ. I'd like you to notice that people are afraid on both sides. It's not just the unbeliever that's afraid, but it's the believer as well. I remember reading in the Bible that the Jews were afraid to take Jesus because they feared the people. And yet we find Christians as well afraid to speak openly of Jesus Christ. It's on both sides of the fence. What is it that hinders people? I remember trying to encourage a young man by the name of Tomek to preach in Poland. Tremendous gifted man. The ability to teach. He could expound the scriptures. A young man that just had a grasp on the scriptures and the ability to present it in a way that was effective. And yet, he feared and preached the gospel. I asked him why one day why he doesn't preach the gospel. He told me that because he's afraid. I told him, I said, Tomek, I appreciate your honesty. That's the truth. Fear hinders us from preaching the gospel. Did you know people are more afraid of you than you're afraid of them? It never ceases to amaze me how that when you open up the scriptures, big, burly men suddenly begin to tremble. That men are willing to talk about anything but the scriptures. They're willing to open up and discuss practically any topic until you open the Bible. This has happened to us time and time again on the streets of Warsaw. People are more than willing to engage you in conversation, but the moment you open up the scriptures and begin talking openly to the Lord Jesus Christ, they begin to fear and tremble, and they want to end the conversation and move on. What is it, my friend, my brother, my sister tonight, what is it that hinders you from preaching the gospel? I believe it's fear. I think all of us have fears and anxieties. The dictionary definition of fear is a feeling of agitation and anxiety caused by the presence of danger. It also means to be afraid, uneasy, apprehensive. Many people become uneasy when we openly speak of Jesus Christ. Many people feel anxiety when they desire to talk about the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about you and I, as believers. We have a fear of preaching the gospel. We need to overcome that fear, and I hope tonight I can help you. But as I said, all of us have fears. Big men, little men, old people, young people. All of us have anxieties. All of us have phobias. Some people are afraid of heights. Others are afraid of mice. Some people are afraid of their own shadow. Others are afraid of the boogeyman. Some are afraid of fire. Some are afraid of that others are talking about us. Some are afraid of responsibility and punishment or the consequence of sin. You know, some of these fears are right. A man that says he's not afraid of anything is a fool. There is a proper place in our lives for fear. Now, maybe these people at Jesus' time had a real reason to be afraid. The Jews had power. After all, they did crucify our Savior. There were certain threats. I remember the parents of the blind man. Jesus healed the blind man. And can you imagine a family that had their son that was born blind, healed by the hands of Jesus Christ, and yet afraid to speak openly of Jesus Christ when the Jews came to him? And the Bible says over there in John chapter 9, the reason they were afraid, because they were afraid that they might be cast out of the synagogue. My friend, if you belong to that type of religion, then you need to get out of it and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But we all have fears. And many times our fears are unfounded. I remember going down into Mexico the first time. Janice and I would get on a bus to be going somewhere, and I was convinced that these people were talking about me. You know, they would stand on the bus and they'd point their finger, and I was sure they're pointing at me. And they'd be talking in Spanish, and I didn't understand a word they were saying, and I knew that they were laughing at us. And yet after time, we began to learn Spanish and began to speak Spanish fluently and get on the same bus with the same types of people. They're still pointing. They're still laughing. And then you begin to realize that they're talking about their grandmother's hat. Or they're talking about something that happened to them the other day that you're not even on their minds. Oh, isn't that pride? Isn't that a senseless fear? And brothers and sisters, the things that prohibit us from talking openly of Jesus Christ, this idea of fear, many times there's no reason to be afraid. But people are afraid. There are different types of phobias. I'm sure you've heard of arachnophobia, the fear of spiders, homophobia, fear of homosexuals, acrophobia, the fear of heights. See, there's even bathophobia, the fear of being near skyscrapers. Can you imagine living in New York or Manhattan or some large city and being afraid of being next to a skyscraper? There's aquaphobia, the fear of water. You know, really, I should have what they call creophobia, the fear of freezing, because it's bitterly cold in Poland. There's others that have ergophobia, the fear of work. There's logophobia, the fear of talking, the fear of words. Not too many women have that fear. Autophobia, the fear of being alone. Not very many Americans have this next phobia, phagophobia, which is the fear of eating. I don't think we have that problem in America. Then there's teratophobia, the fear of monsters. Who's not afraid of monsters? If you saw a monster coming at you, wouldn't you be afraid? In Polish they say, strach ma wielkie oczy. That is to say, fear has big eyes. What does that mean? Fear has big eyes. Strach ma wielkie oczy. It means that we imagine things that aren't really there. That we imagine the dangers and the threats and the consequences, and we have a greater anxiety than we should. How many of you sat, or when you were young, crawled in your bed at night, and you were sure that there was a boogeyman underneath your bed? You were sure there was a monster in the closet, and you screamed out with fright, and your mother came. And what did she do? She turned on the light, and she revealed to you that there was nothing in the closet, there was nothing underneath the bed, that everything was okay. And she calmed you because she made you realize that your fear has big eyes. There was nothing to be afraid of. And after looking about and hearing the reassuring words of your mother, you were persuaded to go back to sleep, but keep the light on. You're still afraid of the dark. Keep the light on just in case that boogeyman's hiding somewhere. Yes, all of us are afraid of something. Some people say, we have a saying that I could have died of fright, or I was scared to death. Many people, when they become fearful, they shake in their boots, they tremble with fear, their knees knock, their heart beats, their teeth chatter. I myself have experienced those types of fears when trying to preach the gospel, especially in my younger days. Your knees began to knock. I used to call that the Holy Ghost shuckle, because your knees will be knocking out of fear. Why is it that people fear? What does the Bible say about it, and how can we overcome it? Look, if you will, in the book of Genesis in chapter 3 and verse 9. And the Bible says, "The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and hid myself." Brothers and sisters, I'd like to say tonight, first of all, that sin will make us afraid. Sin will make us afraid of something that we should not be afraid of. There's no reason to be afraid. Unless, especially not afraid of God, unless we've committed sin. The Bible says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." I'd like to say tonight that if we have sin in our life, that we'll be afraid. And we'll be afraid of the wrong things. Instead of being afraid of the consequences of sin, we become afraid of God. Adam and Eve walked with God Almighty in the garden. But sin entered in, and because of sin, they became afraid to be with God. And I'm afraid many people in our generation, in our day and time, are afraid of God, not for the right reason, but because they are in sin. Sin will make you afraid. Having confidence, being in the right, gives you confidence. How many times have they told us that we couldn't preach in Mexico, or they told us that we could not preach on the streets in Poland, and yet standing up, being in the right, knowing we had the right to preach the gospel, helped us to overcome our fears. Why? Because we weren't sinning. We weren't doing wrong. You know, a child, when they're expecting their daddy to be home, and they've done everything right, they've done their homework, they've taken out the trash, they cleaned off the table, they're excited about daddy coming home. But you let a child do something wrong, and mama goes up to him and says, "I'm going to tell your daddy when he gets home." And daddy comes home, and that little child is not standing at the door or waiting at the window for daddy. Why? Because he or she has done something wrong, and they're afraid. Yes, my friend. Yes, my brother. Yes, my sister. Sin will make us afraid. Now, thank God Jesus Christ has overcome sin. Thank God He's given us liberty from sin by what He did on the cross of Calvary. Thank God every sin can be forgiven if we confess it. So if you're afraid tonight, you need to confess your sin so that you won't be afraid of doing right. But being in the right gives you confidence. Like as I was saying, they told us many times we cannot preach the gospel on the streets in Mexico. This is by fellow missionaries. This is by fellow preachers of the gospel told us that it could not be done. Well, the truth of the matter is they're afraid. It can be done. They took us to court in Mexico, and time again, the judge has said we have a right to preach the gospel, to express our opinions on the streets of Mexico. I remember when we began preaching the gospel in Poland, the police officers would come to us time and time again. In one particular instance, we were preaching. I was preaching at the time. A couple young police officers came up to me. They're very formal. They saluted. They greeted me, taking up my time. They said, "Excuse us, sir, but what are you doing?" And I explained to them that I was preaching the grace of God. I was preaching the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they asked me, "Well, sir, do you have permission to do this?" And I responded, "Well, of course I've got permission to do this. I wouldn't stand out on the streets if I didn't have permission to preach the gospel." And they were sitting back, taken aback and shocked, and they saluted, "Well, excuse us," and they began to leave. And I opened my Bible again and began preaching the gospel. And I noticed that out of the corner of my eye that they were discussing something, and then they came back. And again, once again, interrupting me and going through all this formal greeting as many Poles do. They said, "Excuse me, sir. You said that you have authority to preach the gospel here on the street, but is that authority written?" And I looked at them and I said, "Well, of course it's written." And again, they were shocked and they went away. And again, I opened my Bible and began preaching again. I saw the corner of my eye, here they come again. And once again, they came up and they said, "Excuse me, sir, you said that you have authority and it's written, but may we see it?" And I was a little bit frustrated with them. I was a little bit put out with them. I said, "Well, gentlemen, let me ask you something before I show you my written authority. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and Lord of Lords and King of Kings?" And they responded, "Yes." "Gentlemen, do you realize that a Lord has authority and a King has authority?" And they said, "Well, yeah, we recognize that." I said, "Very good. Because Jesus Christ said," and I opened up the Gospel of Mark in 16, "Jesus Christ, that Lord of Lords and King of Kings, said, 'Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" So here's the authority of a king, the authority of the Lord of Lords. It's written, it's in the Word of God. That's why I'm preaching the Word of God. They excluded me. "Okay, sir, have a good day." And they went on their way. Why? Why wasn't I afraid? Because I knew that I was in the right. Because I knew that I was not in sin, that I was not doing wrong. And I'd like to say tonight, brothers and sisters, sin will make you afraid of the wrong things. Sin will rob you of confidence. And again, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And God in His mercy has given me a boldness and can give you a boldness when we walk righteously before Him. I'd like to say there's another reason that people are afraid to speak openly of Jesus Christ. They're afraid because they just don't have the experience or they lack the confidence. There's a vast difference between a new convert and a believer that's been saved for 30 years. There's a vast difference between a new convert just starting out and preaching the gospel and a man that has been preaching for 30 years. Look at it, if you will, in your Bible in 1 Samuel and chapter 17. Verse 37, it says, "David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, 'Go, and the Lord be with thee.'" What is it that David had that all of the armies of Israel did not have? Here was the army of Israel. These were men that were trained to fight. Trained to handle a sword, trained to handle a spear, trained to handle a shield, and yet they were afraid of Goliath, this giant. They were afraid to engage him in battle. These men, they should not have been afraid. What was the difference? You see, David, who was not a trained soldier, he had confidence with God. Because he walked with God and he knew God, God gave him experiences that helped him for this time. After all, God delivered him out of the paw of the lion, and God delivered him out of the paw of the bear. I'd like to say this evening that our walk with God will give us the faith and the confidence that we need to overcome fear. The experience that we have with God in the past will help us overcome the fears that we face in the present. You know what I've noticed? I've noticed that people are more afraid of me than I'm afraid of them. That gives me confidence. I've noticed that time and time again, God has delivered me out of situations. I remember many times in Mexico standing up and preaching the gospel. We had crowds between 50 to 100, sometimes as many as 500, and I would dare say even more at times. And you get a crowd of that many people that are against you, that are throwing tomatoes or throwing little pebbles or rocks or throwing things at you and chanting, "Away with the gringo! We don't want the gringo here! Take him away!" or threatening. Yeah, that's a reason for fear. But experience had taught me that time and time again, God had delivered us out of the hand of wicked people. That gives you faith. That gives you confidence. Brothers and sisters, look back in your life and see how God has delivered. Or open the pages of Scriptures and see how God has delivered the righteous and delivered those that are called to preach the gospel. It will give you confidence, and that confidence and experience will help you overcome your fear. If you're afraid tonight of speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ openly, you need to find the experience and the confidence from your own life and also from the Scriptures to find out that God indeed is a God that can deliver. You say, "Well, they might hurt me." Yeah, that's true. They might hurt you. But don't you believe in a God that delivers? You say, "Well, they might kill me." Well, that's true, but isn't that a blessing for you? To be out of this world, this old miserable world, and to go in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Didn't Jesus say, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear them which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell"? You see, bodily pain is not the worst thing that could happen to you. Death is not the worst thing that can happen to you. You know, when we face our fears, and we realize, we overcome our fears by realizing that there are greater blessings on the other side. How many a young man had fear when they first began to swim? They would face the water, and they had aquaphobia, and they didn't want to get in the water. They were afraid they might drown. They afraid that they might put themselves within danger. And yet, at the same time, they saw that their friends were having such a good time splashing around in the water. Seeing that blessing helped them overcome their fear so they could learn to swim. And we could give example after example how people overcome their fears because they realized there was something better on the other side. Or something worse, a worse consequence if we did not do it. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid of him that kills the body, but that is not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." We ought to fear God more than the face of men. But brothers and sisters, there's nothing new that men fear. As far back as Adam, men fear. The Bible says that Abraham feared, Isaac feared, Jacob feared, David feared, Solomon feared. Jesus, or God Almighty, told these men of God time and time again, "Be not afraid of their faces. Be not afraid. Trust me. Trust me." We've got to learn to trust in God and trust in what God can do and has done in our own lives. I'd like to say another reason that people are afraid to speak openly of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether that be in the job place, whether that be in the marketplace, whether that be in the home, whether it be out on the streets preaching the gospel. People are afraid to speak openly of the Lord Jesus Christ because they lack the facts. They have a misconception of the facts. In 2 Kings in chapter 6 and verse 15, I'll refresh your mind on the story. The king of Syria was battling Israel, and the king was looking for ways to conquer Israel. And every time he went to do battle, Israel had somehow escaped his hands. And come to find out, it was the prophet Elisha who was telling the king of Israel where to go and what to do. And we pick up the story here, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, Behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be with him. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. You see, I'd like to say tonight, brothers and sisters, that sometimes we're afraid to speak openly of Jesus Christ because we lack the facts. This young servant of Elisha saw the host of Israel, saw the armies about, and thought and was convinced that there was no escape. He was convinced by what he saw that there was no remedy. And that's why he was afraid, and that's why fear came upon him. Because he didn't have all the facts. You see, Elisha, he had the facts. Elisha could see something that that young man could not see. Now, we can overcome fear if we have the facts. Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. And when we open our eyes to the Scriptures, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. When we open our eyes and see that there be more with us than are there with them, that God is on our side, who can be afraid if God is on our side? And He is. I've mentioned this already about a young man being afraid of ghosts. And as we get older, we realize there was nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing underneath the bed. There's nothing in the closet. What we supposed was a monster was nothing but a shirt blowing in the wind, or the curtain blowing in the wind. Why? What happened? We realized, we became aware of the facts, and knowing the facts, we are no longer afraid. And the same thing, brothers and sisters, God is on our side, and there's not a thing that can happen to us but be in the will of God. Maybe we're afraid because we haven't prayed that God would open our eyes. Maybe we're afraid because we walk by sight instead of by faith. How many times the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked His disciples by saying, O ye of little faith. Brothers, if we want to overcome fear and we want to speak openly to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to need faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why it's so important to gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so important to hear the Word of God that your faith might be built up. But you know, that brings us to another point. The lack of faith causes us to fear. The lack of faith causes us to fear to speak of Jesus openly. Look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 25. It says, In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee in the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sing, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know the story. Jesus walking in the water, the disciples, not knowing the facts, not knowing who it really was, were frightened. They were afraid. Jesus told them, and he repeats this admonition many times, Be not afraid, it is I. And brothers, if it's the Lord Jesus Christ, be not afraid. Jesus tells Peter, Come. And Peter gets out of the boat and does the impossible. Peter gets out of the boat looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and does what no other man had ever done before. Walked on water to go to Jesus. Wow! What a tremendous story. What a tremendous privilege for Peter, who walking in faith overcame the elements and walked on water. Brothers and sisters, we can walk on water by faith. But what happened to Peter? I don't know. Maybe it was the disciples in the boat saying, Peter, what are you doing? Maybe they just frightened him. He took his eyes off of Jesus and began to see the waves. And instead of keeping his eyes fixed on Jesus, he began to contemplate the waves and contemplate the dangers and contemplate the impossibility of the task. And he fell. He began to sink. He became afraid. Why? Because he wasn't walking by faith. If we want to overcome our fear, we're going to need faith, and we're going to need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I'd like to close this evening and say there's still yet one other thing that prevents us from talking openly of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm convinced tonight that the gospel would go out around the world if every believer would talk openly of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm convinced that if every worker, every teacher, every housewife, every student, every person in this room tonight, if you would speak openly of Jesus Christ wherever you be, that we could cover the world with the gospel. And yet, because of fear, people have not heard of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And why is it that people don't have the knowledge of God? Because the people of God refuse to speak openly of Jesus Christ for fear of the Jews, for fear of ridicule, for fear of threats, for whatever reason, but fear. I'd like to say tonight that the reason that we don't talk openly of the Lord Jesus Christ is because we lack Bible charity. We lack true love. Look in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 7. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." In the gospel, in the first epistle of John in chapter 4, he says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Isn't it true? No man would normally run into a burning building. No woman would run into water if she did not know how to swim. Would not cast herself out into the deep if she was unable to swim. And yet, all of us have heard of stories that a father running into a burning, raging home. Why? What is it that helped him overcome his fear? Because the love of his child was in that burning house, and he was no longer afraid of the fire, or he overcame the fear of the fire. Why? Because he had love for the child in the home. And the mother will cast herself into the deep, even though she cannot swim, because she does not want her daughter or her son to drown. Love overcomes fear. The great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And to love your neighbor as yourself. We talk about love. Love is the principal thing. Without love, we cannot please God. God demands love of us. And yet we're so lacking. Many of us have cast off our first love. But I'm convinced tonight that if we had a real love for people, that we'd overcome our fears and speak openly of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm convinced tonight if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, as we should, that we would speak openly of Him. I think that our lack of love causes us to fear. Oh, that God would give us an abiding love for lost souls. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love will help you overcome your fears. What is it that hinders you tonight from speaking openly of Jesus Christ? Is it sin? Repent. Turn from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you afraid because you lack experience and confidence? Go with some brothers. Gain that experience. Maybe you can't preach right now, but go with some brothers that preach. Maybe you cannot stand on the sidewalk and preach the gospel like we do, but maybe you can stand on a sidewalk and pass out tracts. Build confidence with God. Walk with God, and you'll see that God will deliver you out of the paw of the lion. He'll deliver you out of the paw of the bear, and He'll deliver you out of the hand of the Philistine. Maybe you're afraid tonight because you lack the facts. The fact is, brothers and sisters, God is on our side. The fact is, there's a host encamped about us. There's nothing that the wicked can do to us when God is on our side. The fact is that no matter what, even if they kill us, we're going to be with the Lord. What a blessed fact. The worst they can do is to take our heads off, and yet instant paradise, instant presence of God. What a blessing. I tell you tonight again, the lack of faith. Now, hearing the Word of God preached, the reason we have these conferences, the reason we have meetings, And so your faith can be built up by hearing the Word of God. You should spend time in the Scriptures to build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then lack of charity. Oh, brothers and sisters, we all need to repent of this. We've left our first love. We've forgotten that God so loved us, that God committed in His love toward us, and yet we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Oh, God have mercy upon us and help us to truly love the Lord Jesus Christ and to truly love lost souls. I hope this is a blessing for you. Let's pray.